Funniest, most pithing little families with only five or six children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You're giving me a massive headache.
Teach your children well.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Now also available through Peapod Delivery Service. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Last weekend, Easter weekend, Disney's new Hannah Montana the movie set a record for opening day at the box office for a G-rated live-action film, you know, as opposed to an animated film. That's according to the AP, more than $17 million in its first day. And over the weekend, it took in $34 million. Now, I will tell you, friends, I helped contribute to the take when I took my four kids, including three girls aged 12 and under, and my good-natured son, who just turned 15, I took them to see the film on opening day. And you know what? As I walked in, I'm surveying these long lines of these young teen girls, just panting with anticipation to get into the movie. And I don't know, I soon realized it must have been something like the Sex and the City or something for the tween set. I mean, they were just aching to get in and see that movie. But we were able to sail right past them, for the most part, as I had pre-bought our tickets. Now, why would I do something like that? I don't usually get excited about a new film coming out, a new kid's film. I tend to be kind of particular, and they tend to be too cynical for me. I don't know. In some ways, I like going with the real, real sweet ones, like the animated ones. But I don't know. I don't usually get too excited about the live-action kids' films. Anyway. The reason is because I love the Hannah Montana series. It's the super hit Disney show. You all have probably seen it, certainly if you have daughters. And it spawned the movie. Now, I know some people out there, I can't believe you're, you know, advocating Hannah Montana. She lies about her double existence. You know, I'll get to all that. But just stay with me here, okay? For the uninitiated, in the television show, Miley Stewart is a teenage girl who lives two lives. One is an ordinary school kid. And in the other, she secretly doubles as real superstar teen phenomena Hannah Montana. So that's how she gets to live the best of both worlds, which is her signature title hit. And it's impossible that a teenage superstar could ever actually keep her real identity known and that kind of thing. So you got it. There's a lot of suspended disbelief going on, but. Here's the thing. It's not that the show itself is so wholesome. I really actually like the show. This all started last year. I took my kids, and I think you all have heard me talk about this, to Disney World over Christmas. And I thought I was just going to get my ticket punched, and I would never have to go back. I was dreading the trip because it was me and four kids. You know, it was just the four of them and me. So I thought, oh, this is going to be a nightmare, but I'll get my ticket punched. I will have taken my kids to Disney World. It will have been a great vacation, and we're done. Well, we get down there, I'm telling you, friends, could not have loved it more than I did. I realize I'm digressing here, but absolutely loved it. It was clean and happy, and everybody's wishing me a magical day, and it was just, it was the best. It was the best. I didn't want to go. I got home, and my then 11-year-old and I were just in tears. You know, there were no hedges shaped like Mickey Mouse, and nobody was telling us to have a beautiful and magical day, and there was litter on the ground. I mean, it really, re-entry was just so not easy. But while we were down there with my kids in our hotel room, when we weren't out the parks, we were kind of resting, we would be watching, of course, the Disney Channel. And one of the shows I really got into was this Hannah Montana. And that's when I learned all, and it got to the point where I said, no, I don't want to go back out. Let's just finish this episode. You know, it's a clean, wholesome, fun show. So, you know, by the way, the movie, Hannah Montana, the movie could not have been cleaner. Note to Hollywood, I hope that this hit shows that we families want more of that kind of fare. Anyway, so here's why I love the show. It's not just that the premise is completely impossible, as I said, what teen superstar could hide her true identity. It's not that Miley Stewart, or just that anyway, that she has a great sense of humor with more than a little edge of sweet sarcasm, which I confess I like, and I fully confess I put aside the sort of double life and the morality of that. Here's what I love about it all. It's actress Miley Cyrus's real-life father, Billy Ray Cyrus of Achy Breaky Heart fame, plays widowed on-screen dad Robbie Ray Stewart. No, I do not have a crush on the man. I just appreciate that he plays the all-too-rare on-screen role of a father who is, gasp, not just crazy about his kids, Miley, and on-screen brother Jackson, but who is also wiser than his children, whose kids really need him to guide them, lead them the right thinking on all sorts of dilemmas, and sometimes just rein them in. That's what I love, a dad who is well portrayed in the popular culture, because we get way too little of that in our popular culture today. More on all that in a moment. You are listening to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. Welcome back for another week. I hope you're having a terrific Sunday. Lots going on today. I have more in the Heartbeat section of the show. Later, we'll be talking to Christina Hoff Summers, a scholar, a friend, a debunker of feminist myths, and she's going to be talking about Title IX. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's the, the part of the legal code that basically says men and women have to be equally represented in sports on campuses relative to the population of the campus. So if there's 20% women or 40% women, then 40% of varsity sports spots have to be filled by women. The obvious problem with that is that women are not as interested in collegiate sports as are the men, and it's caused all kinds of havoc. But now Christina says there are plans in the Obama administration to extend this wrecking ball into math and sciences. I'm kind of with mixed minds there because I've got three girls and I could use some scholarship money. But anyway, more of that later. Hey, if you get a chance to visit my blog, betsysblog.com, I have a couple upcoming appearances. I'll be on Hannity tomorrow night on the Great American Panel and also speaking downtown at the University Club in Chicago on May 6th. I would sure love to see you. So check out my website for more on that. You can also meet my fabulous sponsors. So back to the Heartbeat and to good old dads because we just don't get enough of them. I mean, look. Typically in our modern pop culture, dads are depicted as bumbling fools, at best to be gotten around. It's not just Homer Simpson. Super popular children's books, The Berenstain Bears, feature a loving but totally silly dad who is always being saved by super smart mom. And that's if dads are there at all. Often it's super single mom handling things after dad has left the scene. Now, another movie my kids and I watched over the weekend. I know we watch a lot of movies. I admit it. It's a fun activity. I like it. So this one was on DVD. I like cuddling up with my kids on a Friday evening or Saturday evening and watching movies. And so we watched Bedtime Stories, which is actually, I think, also a Disney film. Anyway, it involves yet another mom left by her husband. Don't they just all go? And it's not that this doesn't happen in real life. Friends, listeners, as you know, it happened to me. It happened to my kids and me. It happens. I just do not like the sense of, well, that's what dads do. If they decide not to hang around and be the family dunderhead, then, of course, they just leave altogether. Because who really needs them anyway? Come on. It's a guy. What are you doing? Who needs it? That is the popular culture. If they're there in the family at all, they're idiots. And mom needs to constantly be saving the day. And if other than that, they typically have always just run off. Because isn't that what dads do? You know what, friends? It's not what most dads do. And it is really time to fight this perception in the popular culture. And I got to tell you, in spite of what happened to us, I always let my kids know that I hate that unfair characterization of fathers. It's just wrong. We should be excited about dads and about the role they play in the family. Because it is a positive and much-needed one. And I've talked about this in the show before, I am just sick of this feminization of men where women have decided that we want the guys to be more like us. In fact, I touched on that last week. You just see it over and over again in the popular culture. If men are going to be valuable, they need to be just like us. I've had a couple of friends actually tell me, fellas, they've read the book Wild at Heart, which lets them know, it really is okay to be a guy and to enjoy being a guy and to realize that guys have special values and gifts and all sorts of good things that they bring to the family, a sense of protectiveness, aggressiveness, all that good stuff used in the right way to protect women and children is a good thing. I don't know why we women are trying to beat it out of them, but so we are. So So a show like Hannah Montana, which features this loving, strong, wise, okay, he's good looking, I'll give him that, dad, even though he's got some imperfections and sometimes his kids get around him, but to see him portrayed in a role where he is needed, he's got wisdom his kids don't, he's got smarts his kids don't, he's got authority, and particularly he uses that authority in the movie in a really terrific way. He's got authority that they need him to have to keep them, particularly Miley, from being an idiot. To see that is so encouraging. It is so encouraging. And that is why I bought those tickets to Hannah Montana, the movie, early. A fun, clean film which features a loving and needed dad. It's the best of all worlds. And I can't encourage you enough if you've got girls to see it. And again, I know some of my friends in the Christian world are going to be aghast that I'm, I don't know, promoting any movie where she's sort of pretending to be one character and, you know, that she's not being totally honest with the world. I hear you on that. But there's a lot of redemptive elements to this movie. And it's so clean. Oh, my gosh. The romances that take place there just could not be sweeter and more innocent. Now, of course, I'm not going to let my girls date at all, but the boy in this film is not only very cute, he is just adorable and innocent. And I know it's a romanticized version and the ending is impossible and all that kind of stuff, but it's a darling film. And what's really great is to see a father well portrayed in a very, very popular hit movie. So I was excited about that. And that's why I'm really glad we sailed past all those tween girls waiting in line to get in, because I was determined to get my kids to see it on opening day. And I always like telling them, too, this is a great role model. This dad's a great guy. Ditto the Full House series, by the way. I've watched that for years and reruns for years. Same thing. They're great men, a dad in particular, and then his friends raising these families after mom has died. And it is just encouraging to see that. It's encouraging for my kids to see that, whether you live in a single-parent home or a home with a dad. It's just great to see fathers well portrayed. So lots more coming up in the It Takes a Parent show. And come right back, we're going to have Christina Hoff Summers on Title IX. And what does that mean for parents and daughters? Stay with us.
I'm Steve Arterburn. It's Christian counseling for your mental and spiritual health. Listen to New Life Live weekdays 1 to 2 here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Math. A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Math. And that's why math is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Most things today seem to be mass production and speed. In the big cookie companies, for instance, the cookies race along at 35 miles an hour so they can keep up with production. But at Matt's, we do things nice and slow. That's because it takes longer to make Matt's cookies with all natural ingredients instead of artificial ones. But while Matt's cookies may be made slow, boy, do they get eaten up fast.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt's.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod Delivery Service.
Susan G. Komen's Race for the Cure is a funding source for Planned Parenthood. That's right. Money from the Race for the Cure helps support Planned Parenthood, now facing investigation for protecting child predators. I thought all dollars from Race for the Cure went towards breast cancer research and information. I was wrong. Komen and Planned Parenthood don't tell women that abortion increases breast cancer risk. Get more information at abortionbreastcancer.com. Abortionbreastcancer.com.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wasi Khanna and the folks at Skin Sational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skin Sational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180 or visit HannahMD.com.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. And, you know, in the previous segment, I was talking a little bit about how we women in America seem to want to feminize our men. But that's not enough to keep the feminists busy. As my next guest and friend, Christina Hoff Summers, will talk to us more about. Christina, welcome to the It Takes a Parent show.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Well, Christina Hoff Summers is a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. She is, of course, a PhD. She has several best-selling books, including The War on Boys and Who Stole Feminism. She's currently working on a book called The Science on Women and Science, and this has to do with the whole controversy about whether or not women can do science as well as men. You may remember when that whole blow-up happened with Larry Summers at Harvard University a few years ago. Christina is on the front lines of challenging the sisterhood, as I like to call it. So, Christina, once again, there you were, the Washington Post, a threat in Title IX. And it starts out a great piece this week. Again, I'm going to be posting it at my blog, betsysblog.com. What's good for women's basketball will be good for nuclear physics. What are you talking about?
Well, the women's various lobbying groups have worked together assiduously for several years. And behind the scenes, no one really saw this coming, including most scientists. And they are going to try to take what they did for sports to the laboratory.
All right, now let's back up first and kind of bring my listeners up to speed. Here we are in Chicago and around the country, not necessarily steeped in the stuff in Washington. Title IX sounds like some sort of medicine or something that you get. Explain what Title IX is.
It's a celebrated anti-discrimination law. It was part of the Education Act, which says simply that there will be no discrimination in any program that receives federal funds. Now, it doesn't apply only to sports. It applies to everything in the university. But it is in sports where it's really been applied most aggressively. Most athletics departments in major universities and colleges would have Title IX facilitators. It's just something very important for the college to keep up their funding. And there's a lot of good that was done in encouraging young women to join teams and be athletes. It often was applied without any common sense and in a mean-spirited way. They eliminated a lot of male teams. They deny it, but believe me, they did it. But now...
Let me just I just want to flesh out this picture a little bit. My understanding is that Title IX, as applied to sports, meant that if 40% of the campus was made up of women, then 40% of the varsity sports spots had to be given to women.
That's how it has come to be interpreted. That was not the intention of the legislators.
Right.
Go back and see what they wrote. They just wanted to give young women what they should have.
Which is an encouragement and availability for us.
Encouragement. Who wouldn't want that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love to see these women athletes.
Right. You're a big cyclist. But then, of course, what happened is, whenever we're together, you're always encouraging the bicycle riding. I'm sort of saying, can I meet you at the end? But in any event. So then what happened is, in order, because they couldn't get enough women to participate on a lot of college campuses, they had to cut back men's spots, including maybe second-tier men's sports like golf or tennis, in order to keep their football team so that they could be at parity. And no matter what they did, they could not give away enough scholarships in a lot of colleges for women to compete equally.
That some women are as interested or as more interested than men in sports, but not, it simply doesn't begin to match the fascination, fixation that young men have. Just the other day I was at college and at the University of Minnesota giving a lecture, and we went by the fraternity houses and the sorority houses, and all the boys were out throwing a ball back and forth. You don't see girls doing that.
Right.
My boys, that's what they would do all the time. It's just something in the male psyche. But anyway.
And by the way, you know, women dominate the drama departments and so forth, and nobody seems to care about that.
Well, that's right. If somebody was dancing around outside, it would, you know, be a girl. These are the differences. There are differences between men and women, and as a equity feminist, I believe in equality of opportunity, but I celebrate difference, and I think that the sexes is a complementarity that's wonderful and enjoyable and fascinating. But we have this movement in this country that's on the march that will not be satisfied until men and women are the same.
Yeah, equality of result. So explain now what's happening. Title IX applied to science?
Yes. If you went to just about any university you'd care to mention, look at what the kids are majoring in. Now, after all these years of, you know, several generations of feminism, I guess that they expected it would be, you know, 50% of men and women would be majoring in engineering and 50% of men and women would be in English. That has not happened. It's quite the opposite.
Yes, you're kidding. You're kidding. Wow, who knew?
If you look at a school of education, about 80% female. You look at an engineering program, 80% male.
Mm.
And it's the same with English majors, not quite as extreme, but you find far more women than men in the humanities. Women have all but taken over psychology. It's just an exclusive province of the female sex.
Which is good for them since they're trying to socially re-engineer the sexes.
Oh, yeah, we
sexes,
love it.
So that, great.
And also, it's just a natural for
women. Yeah. We want to talk about our feelings. Absolutely.
Talk
okay,
about
fine.
Feelings and understand human beings. I mean, I loved it. And, you know, I went into philosophy, but, of course, women who go into philosophy don't go into logic and philosophy of mathematics nearly as much as we do in ethics and philosophy of beauty, but never mind that. Anyway, the point is that they are very unhappy with engineering programs and physics, the physical sciences in engineering, because that's the one area in the university where that women do not dominate, that you find more men than women. So they are on the march. Now, I just raised questions in several op-eds that I've written. For example, if you believe, okay, well, we need diversity, then why don't you promote Title IX in schools of education where there's almost all girls?
Exactly. And when you challenge them directly, when you're talking to one of these people, you're debating on campus, which you do quite a bit, what do they say to that?
Sometimes they say, yes, we should.
Oh, grief.
And then, you know, I just groan because can you imagine that, how coercive that would be?
Oh.
And what a waste. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to try to take kids that have an inclination in one direction, like young men that are just far more young men? You give them vocations tests and you ask them, do you prefer playing around with small gadgets and machines or talking to a friend about your problems, you know? I mean, I'm very few boys.
Duh.
They want to talk about the problems. But if the people that want to play with a small machine, you know, it's mostly boys.
Yeah,
now,
yeah thank
girls.
You.
I mean, you have to say that or people go crazy. And I know you have listeners who have girls that are going to be engineers. About 20% of engineers are girls. They're brilliant.
Great, super, yeah.
But 80%, you're not. There's no way you could coerce the, you know, most of them to go into something they find dry and meaningless. Women seek a certain kind of meaning, and they also feminists don't like to hear this.
Oh, I don't think
so. Gravitate towards jobs that engage us as nurturers. Guess which field of medicine women own and have just booted men out? Veterinary medicine.
Really?
Yes, because I think it's the perfect field. For, you know, women that are very high-powered now, you're brilliant in science, but you want a job that's both cuddly and techie, a veterinarian.
Oh, I thought you were going to say pediatrician. Okay.
Oh, well, no, of course, pediatrician.
Yeah.
That's women. But,
interesting.
No, but
okay.
Yes, pediatrics is not exclusively, but approaching, 90% or something. But veterinary medicine is 80%.
Interesting. Okay, didn't know that. Okay. So then the situation now is they're saying, look, these numbers are not good enough, and now Title IX is going to be brought in to fix the disparity.
Yes, but only in engineering and chemistry and physics.
So how is this going? I mean, what are you hearing about how this is actually afoot? I got to tell you, Christina, I read this piece, and you know my oldest daughter, Victoria, and she actually, interestingly, unlike her mother, has apparently a great deal of aptitude in math and science. And she's won science awards for competitions, and we've had her tested, and she just has real aptitude in those areas. So I'm kind of reading this and thinking, woohoo, Oh, good for me. I've got three girls. We're talking potentially a couple of scholarships here.
Oh, you are. You are. It is a great...
I'm sorry. I'm sort of thinking, hey, what's in it for me?
I know, but it's sort of sad because right now if you go to the website of NASA, they have an elaborate new program called a NASA Title IX Compliance Program.
Oh, gosh.
And every school that's receiving federal funds must have a compliance officer, and they're threatened with investigation unless they can show how they're moving towards equity. But, you know, why shouldn't this be – I mean, I have a son, actually, who wants to be a teacher. And so I'm thinking, well, great, maybe they should make it easy for him because there are so few men in schools of education.
Right.
But that doesn't work that way. It's only for the girls. I mean, what I'm saying is I don't think they should do this at all. I don't think it should be easier for your daughter –
I agree. I do agree. I'm being very facetious. I agree with that.
Or for my son, then you're a teacher. But if we're going to...
No, I will take the scholarship money. Do not misunderstand me. If this is in place, and I will do it.
No,
I'm just saying it shouldn't be that way.
I hope for that, too. I thought there are so few boys applying to Columbia Teachers College. Please give them a scholarship.
Yeah.
It's so expensive. And they gave them a little, but not enough to make a difference. But they don't do it for the boys. There's nothing like that. But one could make the argument that we need diversity in education. We need more men. I've heard very good arguments for that. But you will not find anyone in the government promoting this because we don't have these lobbying groups. This is what I discovered, is that there are these groups with huge, huge endowments, like the Association of
American Association of University Women, yes.
University Women, and, of course, the National Organization for Women and the National Women's Law Center. And there's so many of them, and they are all working together on this. This is what they want. They're obsessed with it. They generate petitions, and they have what they call closed-door think tanks. They're lobbying. And the whole thing is unscientific. It's actually quite ironic. They're promoting women in science by using and showing the least kind of rigorous thinking and powers of analysis.
Yeah, and
just denying what's obvious is that there are differences that are relevant.
When it comes to science, they're, in a sense, denying science. It doesn't mean there aren't women who love math and science. I have a daughter who I think will go into it. That's great, but I don't think it sends a good message to her that she feels she'll get into some program because she's a girl. She should get in because she's smart enough to.
See, that's what hurts me, is that the women who are there now are there because they deserve it, because they're the best. Everyone wants them on their team because they're brilliant, especially in biology. Women are fantastic, and they're not underrepresented there. So the things women want to do, they go there, but it's simply a matter that we haven't achieved parity. They're still here.
Yeah, and that's driving the feminists now. So we're going to come back with more of Christina Hoff Sommers on It Takes a Parent and the drive for making men look more like women. Stay with us.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines, along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at elitefitnessws.com. That's elitefitnessws.com. Calling all campers and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Y Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQY Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQY, a family vacation with eternal significance. If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Start your day with Renewing Your Mind in R.C. Sproul. Weekday mornings at 9 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I'm thrilled to have a radio station that plays the things I like to listen to that are uplifting.
Why can't a woman be more like a man?
I beg your pardon?
Yes, why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so honest, so thoroughly square, eternally noble, historically fair. When you win, we'll always give your back a pat. Why can't a woman be like that? Why does everyone do what the others do? Can't a woman learn to use a head? Why do they do everything their mothers do? Why don't they grow up? Well, like their father instead. Why can't a woman...
I love that clip from Professor Henry Higgins. In fact, I played it a couple times in the last few weeks. Because it's a joke. Why can't a woman be more like a man? So, Christina, why? You know, that's funny because it's obviously so ridiculous because no one would really want that. Men are not trying to make women like them. Why do we insist on making men more like us?
Well, this was a dream, really, of baby boomer feminists who are so dominant in the university, this unisex androgynous fantasy. You're like Pat on Saturday Night Live. Who wants to be that way? I do not know. There's no constituency. And yet they are have proved themselves to be superb lobbyists and networkers. So they work behind the scenes, and in certain areas they get their way. And right now in the Obama administration, he is promoting, this Title IX for the sciences, and he has this Council on Women and Girls.
So this is a deliberate, it's not just this might happen, it's not just this is obviously going to happen, this is happening. There is a move to make sure that Title IX is now enacted throughout the universities and the science programs.
That's right. It's happened. It's here. It's not discussed. And that's what I find scandalous, is it was never publicly debated.
Mm.
But the deeper assumption was never publicly debated. Has anyone asked the Americans if women want to become men? I don't think we do. I think women want opportunities and freedoms and ways to exit from situations they find, just impossible, but not to be men.
Right. I mean, and that's what I wanted to do on the It Takes a Parent show, to talk about this very topic, because we need to talk to our kids about these things and to kind of encourage them, encourage their gifts, encourage their strengths. There should be equality of opportunity. We've got that now.
Yeah.
And you were the one, and I believe it was you at AEI years ago, who showed that when you compare women in the workplace, when you take away variables like age and whether or not they have children and so forth, women make about 98.5% of what men do. This idea that we're only at 70 cents on the dollar is ridiculous.
Oh, that's just
And so it's important to talk to our kids. Yes, we want equality of opportunity. Yes, you should be able absolutely to follow your dreams and your interests, and we should encourage that. But the idea that we should make you, if you are a woman, fit into a scientific mold that most of our brains don't naturally do, and that's okay, just like most men don't naturally want to teach first grade, and that's okay, to go ahead and just have these discussions and say, you know what, you're a wonderful individual, and your gender has, it has certain tendencies, and there are lots of exceptions to the rule. But you don't have to hate being a woman and all the things that means. You don't have to hate being a guy and all the things that means. And I think it's important for parents to realize what is going on in the culture and what their kids are up against in schools and particularly at universities.
That's right. And the women's studies classes are monopolized by women with a very radical view about what they call the gender system.
Mm.
They think that it's a system that was invented, that Sandra Lee Bartke has characterized it. She's a feminist philosopher at the University of Illinois.
My alma mater, okay.
And she said, we're all born bisexual, and then through socialization we're transformed into two sexes, one destined to command, the other to obey.
Oh.
I told that to my husband. He said, now which one commands, which one obeys?
Whatever happened to the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, you know? Yeah, the idea that if only we all did things girls' way, wouldn't the world be a better place? Those folks have never visited a seventh grade junior high classroom and seen how the girls operate. So where does this come from, this... It's just some sort of resentment? Is it for past discrimination? Is it what
well,
is
I mean, I'm
driving
a philosophy
this?
Professor. I take ideas seriously, and I really think that a lot of this madness has evolved from just bad ideas. And I think that were popular and they've never given up the idea that most of us found ridiculous as soon as we had children. But they didn't. Some of them have children. They don't find it ridiculous. They think that the sexes are the same. That as this woman says, we're all born just bisexual. And then culture shapes you into male and female.
And it does amaze
ridiculous.
Me that parents of young children could believe
amazing.
This.
I was just at the University of Minnesota. I was at the University of Minnesota, but I also spoke at St. Catherine's College.
I'm so glad you're out there.
College in Minnesota. And I had a lunch with all the women's studies professors.
You're kidding. They went to lunch with you?
Well, they were sort of forced into it. I don't think they wanted to be there, but they came to be nice to their colleague. Anyway, they were cordial. But they said at one point that, well, isn't it sad that a boy can't be like a girl? And, you know, if he paints his nails, he'll get... jeered at. And I said, well, not very many little boys want to paint their nails. And they said, well, why not? Why shouldn't they? And I just thought, that's so ridiculous. What little boy, you know, I mean, yes, you might have a very odd little boy who wants to do that. You know, three-year-olds will do anything. But, you know, a 5 or 6-year-old boy, it would be very abnormal.
Yes.
And they wanted to pretend like that was just terrible, that it was. And I said, well, don't you have children? You know, don't you have girls that are in the princess phase? And, you know, all the, and it's wonderful. Why not enjoy it? And why? And it was clear that they did not enjoy it. And it was something they thought that was, you know, just... well, anyway, my point is, many of the women's studies professors are still in the grips of this idea that gender is a social construction. That's number one. They also believe that our society is just horrible for women. They overstate that, you know, they would make it seem like we're all depressed, we all have eating disorders, we're all getting beaten up by our husbands.
I was going to say, the husbands, every one of them is waiting behind a closed door to jump out and just beat us up when, in fact... far more likely to be attacked by an ex-husband or boyfriend, but that's another story. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's something else. It's very unstable. Exactly. But anyway, there is an entire litany of false information. I've just written a piece about the feminist textbooks and how unreliable, how outrageously wrong they are. But yet the errors never get corrected.
Yeah, and the really sad thing about this is that this then... comes to the point where then women and children are no longer protected. In other words, one of the great things that many men possess is traits like aggressiveness, protectiveness, competitiveness. When those are used for right purposes to protect and provide for women and children, it's a great thing. When those same characteristics are not rightly channeled, when you say, it's not okay to have them, it's not okay to be a man, it's not okay.
Well, that's what I said in the War Against Boys. Young men have to be brought up to be gentlemen.
Yeah.
And that any healthy society has to spend a lot of efforts socializing its young men, because they have very unpleasant ways of getting themselves noticed if they are insufficiently socialized. And we have traditions, male gallantry and civility and codes of chivalry. And wouldn't you know that many of the feminists sneered at these traditions.
But if you don't do that, then those traits come out in very unpleasant ways that often hurt women and children.
That's right. I mean, so we
hurt ourselves by trying to make them more like us. I think it was you who said, or maybe it was Cato Byrne who said, men boys need to be civilized, not feminized.
Yes. So that's the theme of the War Against Boys.
Yeah.
And what I found I would go to these schools, the Wellesley Center for Research on Women and the Harvard Graduate School of Education, so forth, and they would be looking for ways to get little boys to bond with dolls and to play more like girls. Girls typically, not always, but typically will do you know, theatrical games, playing school, playing house. There's a lot of exchange of confidences, the best friend relationship, where the boys are outside, that, you know, in large groups, throwing balls, running around. It's rough and tumble play. That's their characteristic play. Well, they were trying to make boys feel bad about that and to calm them down, get them to play like girls, because they misunderstood rough and tumble play. They confused that with aggression and violence. But it was just the healthy, essential play of little boys everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. If my son had said, hey, guy friends, let's go play school, I would have been concerned. Because, of course, he never did that, whereas my girls can't play school long enough. So, okay, we just have a couple of minutes, and The War Against Boys is a great book, and I encourage my listeners to get that because it's so important to bring up healthy boys who know it's okay to be a boy and to grow and to be a man and to have a right idea of what that means. It means to be civilized, not feminized. But with just a couple more minutes, Christina, what do we do? Is there anything we can do to take this on, to challenge this, or even just to make our own kids aware of it or be aware of what's going on the campuses? What can we do?
Well, I think the first thing, I think with the boys, it's really time that these groups are powerful. I'm sorry to say, the AAUW. I wish that a lot of your listeners would go on their website and challenge the things that they're saying, politely, respectfully, because I think we just have to try to reason with other women not to do this, not to wage. They are the ones waging the war against boys. They deny they have problems, and then they're promoting this Title IX. So I do think that group is responsible, not the only one. It's also they do this much more than any of the other groups.
Okay, but that it's not in the interest of women to want to make men more like us.
And then look at also on the positive side. Look at websites like the Boys Project.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Okay.
And Why Boys Fail is a compilation of articles, excellent articles put together by an editor from USA Today who just became shocked and when he found out about this problem with boys.
Wow.
So
okay.
Those websites are good, but those women's websites, you just start engaging them a little bit and challenging and try to move the organization in the direction
and,
of common sense.
And maybe encouraging our daughters to go after their dreams and let them know, honey, you do not need any special help to get where you're on your way to going because you are smart. You can do it. Go in there and compete with the boys, but don't look for a quality of opportunity or result. Look for a quality of opportunity. Christina Hoff-Summers, thank you so much for being my guest today on It Takes a Parent. That was great fun. Friends, I will be posting her column and a lot of links to Christina on my website, betsysblog.com. Christina, it's been great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
To the rest of you, be right back with a little more In the Heartbeat. Stay with us on It Takes a Parent.
Hi, I'm Pete Briscoe. When you know God's truth, it sets you free. Join me for Telling the Truth weekdays at 10 a.m. here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocer's shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry, walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
You're writing a Christian book and you want it published. You also know old-fashioned publishers reject thousands of manuscripts each year. Want your book in print and on Amazon? Make it happen. Take control and publish yourself with 21st Century Christian Publishing at Zulon Press. Learn more with your free guide to Christian publishing. Visit ChristianPublishing.com. ChristianPublishing.com. Publishing is fast, easy, and affordable with Zulon Press. A division of Salem Communications, the same great people who bring you this nifty radio station.
Calling all campers, and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQY Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQY, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL. Reminding you again, if you have a moment, to go to my blog, betsysblog.com. You can see some upcoming appearances, including at the University Club here in Chicago on May 6th. And that is open to the public. Details are there at betsysblog.com. So a few more minutes for a couple more items in the heartbeat part of the show, bringing up the end of things. Have you all seen this video about Susan Boyle? If you haven't, you have to go to my website. I'll be posting it there. Again, that's betsysblog.com. I'll put the link up from YouTube. And to set it up for you, because since you obviously can't see, Susan Boyle is a middle-aged woman. She looks like a middle-aged woman. She's been called frumpy. I'm not going to describe her as such, but she walks out on the stage of Britain's Got Talent. And you really, the whole thing is set up that she's going to fail. She must have this terrible voice. Britain's Got Talent is the equivalent of American Idol, apparently, here in the United States. Simon Cowell is one of the judges on there, just as he is here on American Idol, which, personally, I love. My kids and I are very much into that. So she walks out, and you think it's going to be one of these disastrous, embarrassing appearances where, you know, they make fun. They said that they make fun of the contestants. And you've seen that on American Idol, where it really gets the thing I don't like is gets a little icky, where you just think, oh, they're really embarrassing this person. This person doesn't know how bad he or she is, and isn't that a shame? And they're making it worse. And but you know, to some extent, people like it as good entertainment. In some cases, I certainly cringe a little bit at that stuff. I like the later shows where people do have talent. So anyway, Susan Boyle walks out. And if you haven't watch this with your kids, because it is priceless.
Hi, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Whiteburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of... It's a collection of... villages. That's a thing, dear.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
What are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay. Big song.
Yeah?
Yes.
And so it goes on, and you can watch the whole appearance. It's about 6 or 7 minutes on either YouTube, or I'll be posting it on my blog, betsysblog.com. It is so great. You will just cry watching it because everyone expects this woman, based on her appearance, to fail. They're laughing at her that she could possibly think that she could be this great singer and that she could possibly compete with Elaine Page. I don't know who Elaine Page is, but I'm sure she's some British star. And they're just laughing at her, and even the judges are smirking. And then she opens up with this amazing voice, and I'm literally crying even just thinking about it. And within moments, you can hear the audience is on its feet. And if you watch Simon Cowell, his expression of sheer amazement, and then the other judges' mouths literally drop open because no one was expecting this. And then at the end, it doesn't give anything away to tell you that, of course, she makes it to the next level, and they give her the greatest endorsements possible, and on it goes. One of the judges says it's the biggest yes he's ever given in 3 years. But it is so worth watching with your kids because this is a woman who admits before she goes on stage she's never even been kissed, much less married or have children. She lives in some you know village somewhere with her cat Pebbles. And she looks like they're setting her up to be a joke. And I think they were setting her up to be a joke. And then she opened her mouth and that amazing voice came out. And everything has changed for her and for her life. And God bless Susan Boyle. We wish you the best. So, friends, do watch that. It is such an encouraging video. Go to my website or to YouTube, and you can find it there. If you haven't seen it already, maybe you have. But I've been watching it almost every day, and I just love watching it with my kids because it's encouraging to them. It's just in a very cynical, broken world, you don't usually find just really fun and uplifting and encouraging and delightful stories like that, or you find them too rarely. So I wanted to pass that on to you. Make sure you get a chance to look at that. That just happened this week. So a little bit more in the heart. We've just got a few more minutes, but I wanted to make sure that you know about a new book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. This is by Rebecca Hagelin. She's been on the show before. We'll have her in the future to talk about her new book. But what Rebecca does is she goes through and she Chronicles. It's published by Regnery. It's just out in hardback. So do go on to Amazon.com or to your local bookstore where you can get it. And she really goes through some key ways that we can focus on our families. And I admit she does quote my book in here, It Takes a Parent, which I always appreciate. I know Rebecca and I each had books actually coming out at the same time when she did her last one. I haven't done a book since then, but in any event, we see a lot of things the same way. So I'm just going to give you some chapter titles, and you can kind of get an idea of what she's talking about, how to save your family, or 30 ways in 30 days to save your family. So one is commit to the daily battle. A lot of parents could certainly appreciate the call to arms in that, so to speak. Envision the childhood you want for your children and the adults you want them to become. So you know, you want a more innocent, thoughtful childhood. You certainly want it to be safe. Understand how marketers target your children. That is very valuable because there's a lot of subtle things marketers do that a lot of us parents don't even realize. Create family time. Know the difference between your principles and your preferences. That's a great one. I think sometimes we parents get really caught up in it has to be done my way. Instead of saying if the principle, for instance, is you know modesty in the way you dress, you know, then let the kids have some, you know, let the kids develop their own style. And if the child wants to dress a little bit like, gee, Mom, the kids at school aren't wearing this or the kids at school are wearing that, I don't have a problem with that as long as it's within the bounds of appropriateness and modesty. I don't mind my kids being a little bit stylish. Look, before I go to a party, the first thing that I do is I call somebody and say, what are you wearing? Because I don't want to look like an idiot. So I think that's okay. That'd be an example. Music might be another one. There's things where you can say, here's our principles. Within that, go ahead, develop your own style, your own taste, your own identity. And we parents just don't have to be afraid of that. She encourages you to write a letter to your teen. Battle the culture, not your child. And I think that's there's a lot of valuable advice in there. Just the idea of, you know, while we want to deal with our children, while we want to understand that sin is in the heart, it's not out in the culture somewhere where if we just keep the culture out, we can keep our child safe. And Rebecca isn't saying that. But she's saying, you know, we have some big enemies out there. Let's go after them. Keep the battle line straight. And understand that we may not love the culture, but we really love our kids, and we want to help them to engage the culture and to think about it rightly. And that's a big, she doesn't go into that as much as I would, but that's a big belief of mine, is that we can't just keep the culture out. I think we do our children a real service when we help them to think about it rightly. So even for watching some films, maybe have some violence, but let's say they have redemptive elements to them, to talk with our kids about that, about why the violence here wasn't gratuitous, might have been appropriate, et cetera. Just help them think through things. Be smart. And Anna goes, she talks about being your family's movie critic. Keep your kids safe in online social networking. That's a big one. Lots of parents don't have any idea what their kids are doing online when it comes to social networking. Friends, you've got to get on Facebook. And if your kids won't let you be their friend on Facebook so you can get onto their website, then they don't get to go on Facebook. And then teach your children to be good stewards. That's important. Think rightly about the earth, our place in it, not just to go with the environmental agenda, but to think through how we can be responsible stewards of the earth, which will sometimes be at odds with the environmentalist agenda. Help them to think clearly. There's a whole bunch of other great chapters in here I don't have time to go into, but it's really nice concrete steps to helping your family. 30 ways in 30 days to save your family. And that's all the time we have. So from all of us at It Takes a Parent, this is Betsy Hart saying I sure wish each and every one of you a great and blessed week. Hope to see you back here next Sunday. Do visit betsysblog.com and have a great one.